Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Experiment. This week, we are mostly trying Google Plus. We're giving it a go. If you've been around for the last couple of weeks and wondered why there's been no Bagel Tech Big, the reason is that we're on a completely different setup because everything fried after 10.6.8. We had no end of trouble, so I didn't post anything. So this is the first show back, providing nothing else screws up tonight. And then last week, James worked the wonder of wonders in getting Eric out of the kitchen window on a speaker, but unfortunately, it didn't record on my computer, so that's why we didn't post a big show from the bash. But we're back. We have a fantastic panel. Joining us, some of the regulars this evening. The first one back is Mr. Kyle Swagger.
Hello.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. Yeah, this whole Google Plus thing is really well.
Except your video's frozen.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You know, that's probably Murdoch trying to hack me.
You said the R word. Oh, no. Good week.
Yeah, good week. Busy week, actually. Actually, busy last 2 days for some reason. It's just kind of all at once, and maybe Friday will be a nice wind-down day. I shall see here in a little while.
Missed you at the bash, but a happy Mrs. Swagger is always a better option, I would have suggested.
I think we're going to try and really do that next year for the old anniversary. I think we're going to do the tour of England and the bash and all that. But yeah, this year I really wanted to sleep in my own bed and not on the couch.
Good man. So you're coming over next year. So all of those people then that didn't come this time that said that they would, and I know who you are, I've kept your steak and you will be eating it next year. if he can make the effort to come over from the Philippines, you can damn well make the effort to come from Essex or somewhere like that. Card marked.
Yeah.
Next to him, talking of Essex, and he's nowhere near Essex, but I just thought that was a closer link, we've got Mr. James Hart. Hello, James. How are you doing?
Good evening, Ewan. I was okay until I switched on my RSS read. I was going to do this as my cool thingy last week, and I'm glad I didn't. I get very irked when a piece of software doesn't update. Sorry?
It doesn't stop Will Green.
I suppose not.
Will Green said the Plex app was the best thing since sliced bread, and he's spitting and hissing all over Twitter saying he can't get it off his computer fast enough. So don't worry, mate.
Anyway, it's one of these things where it updated itself to the Android updater, and it's completely lost all my settings. And, of course, it's one of these RSS readers, so you have it nicely laid out. It didn't even back up the data, so I've got to sort the damn thing out again. And all I had all my tech news on it as well, and now that's gone. Darn it.
No.
I'm cross now.
Got home safe last week.
Yes, it was a good, much better trip back home. And I want to thank Simon very much for driving me home.
It was 2 a.m.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was. Yes.
Generally well, we had a laugh, drives and
he
are better.
He didn't nearly crash, so that's good.
Jolly good. And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan. Hello, mate.
In widescreen. I don't know why, but Google Hangout is cropping me vertically, and I already widescreen to begin with, so I'm in CinemaScope.
Yeah, it makes you look thinner, though, dude.
1.78 to 1, or whatever ratio
I was going to say, you're kind of like more 2-1, I would have said.
Oh, that's, yeah, that yeah, 7, what is 7 point? Yeah, one, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Panavision, shot with Panavision lenses.
That's right. And Technicolor.
The week in technology, we're here to discuss all the things that have or have not happened this week, and it's been a pretty dry week, it has to be said. There's a really worrying report that something like, you say 34%, Eric? Of iPhone 4 users, 43%.
I think that's about right. Something 34, 43, somewhere around there. I think that they're using 4G.
There was definitely a 3 and there was definitely a 4 in it. Which order, we're not entirely sure, but then facts have never been important to us. Think they've already got 4G, which, as Eric, as James pointed out, is probably the sales tactic that's been given to them, or the fact that they're just a bunch of dummies, so... We'll leave you to
34%.
34. It wasn't quite 43 then. 43 would have been a national crisis. Too many George Bushes in the country. We've also had the new Sony tablets, S1 and S2, were officially outed this afternoon. And we also had a report from the USPS market share, PC market share, which said that Apple sold a total of 11% of the total US market, which puts them now at third in terms of manufacturers within the US. And I thought that'd be a good, interesting conversation to start with is, you know, well, we've got the Sony tablet coming out now, and we can have a little chat about the tablet market within that as well. But what are the other producers doing to counteract the march of Apple? Because, you know, it seems inexorable. You know, Apple are just moving forwards and doing whatever the hell they like.
Well, I'll start by saying that that I'm still surprised that the Intel i3, i5, i7 processors are still really expensive. They must be heading towards 3 years old now. And progress hasn't been made with PCs, really. They're doing the same thing as they always did. And so I don't know whether people are not buying them or they're going for something else, but Apple are continually refreshing their lines, but the PCs remain the same, ostensibly.
Is there a supply and demand issue with that, though? Because, I mean, Apple is sucking up that everything now in the desktop market is Core i5, i7, and there's a possibility maybe even that the Air, when it gets an upgrade, may go to a bigger processor. There's talk of the i5 going into the iMac, the Mac Mini, rather. So is this just a supply and demand thing?
I don't know. I agree kind of with James on that a little bit. I mean, I think we've gotten to a time right now where, do I need to upgrade? Well, this is working good for me. And, you know, maybe Apple is the one that's got it, you know, kind of right, that like every 2 years I've got to get a new phone or I've got to get a new iPad. But I think when it comes to like our desktop machines, particularly our desktop machines, if it's working for us and it's still going along, and you do particularly if you're a Windows user and you do an install or reinstall every 3 months, then you're quite happy.
3 months.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, I don't know if you have this advertisement in the States that we've got here in the UK at the moment, but there's an advert for Windows where a woman says, you know, I blatantly haven't purchased a new PC in the last 7 to 8 years. And they say, okay, so we turned your front room into a PC shop, and they deck it out with all the PCs. And she comes and she says, oh, I like this one. And she says at the end, you know, and I'm a PC user. Have they done an American version of that? Because, I mean, if that's typical, the average British user is not updating their PCs within 7 to 8 years. Is that an echo of the States as well as?
I don't know. I haven't seen that advertisement here, but that would be, that'd be wild if that were the case. I mean, the whole idea of that ad sounds pretty strange. I'm not sure why Microsoft would want to give that vision of themselves, or even make it sound like the lady could then make an intelligent decision by looking at the laptop that she hasn't studied for 7 years. But I don't know. If it's here, I haven't seen it.
Right. Okay.
I think I remember they had those commercials. I think, I don't know if it was Best, maybe it was HP. I don't remember what it was. They take somebody with the Apple thing, they take them to a Best Buy store, and they pick out, hey, well, yeah, I got myself an HP, you know, fantastic, you know.
This is not an Excel.
Yeah, and it's exactly, yeah, and it's, and they really point out the fact that you just saved yourself $1,000, got yourself a PC. They did that for quite a while. Windows, I think, did that, actually. Maybe it was Windows that I'm thinking of. But that's the only one that's coming to mind right now. I've never heard of the every.
Yeah, it was the I'm a PC. It was the I'm a PC campaign. Yeah. Very brief.
That's it.
Indeed. I'm thinking back, actually, and I've not been asked. I mean, it used to be the sort of the evergreen question. Someone would come to me every couple of months and say, I'm looking for a PC. What should I get? People aren't asking me that at the moment. I don't know whether people are. It'd be interesting to find out what the PC sales are like, because there was a netbook craze where everybody spent 150 quid, 200 quid on a netbook. And there was the time when Windows 7 just come out and sort of everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. My dad's got a Windows 7 PC. But since then, I mean, it must be over a year now and nobody's interested.
There's a link in the chat room there from Carl for the store at home advertisement. That's what it's called on YouTube. Oh, you can go and see it there if you really.
They must be. This is desperate. It sounds desperate to me.
Is it just recessionary? Is it just the fact that people are holding onto the hardware because, you know, the i5 and the i7 processors are great. That's all fine and dandy. They are pretty expensive, so it's keeping the high street prices up of computers. And then people are just going, well, actually, you know, my gameplay is just fine on it. And the PC gaming market is kind of dying a death to the consoles, isn't it?
I think so.
I think that, yeah.
I think that's
been for a while.
Yeah, I think the things that people used to buy PCs to do, they now buy phones to do, or at the very least, iPads. And the other thing that kept people on the cutting edge of desktop computers was game playing. And now a lot of people, especially casual gamers, are purchasing consoles and have bought the last generation of consoles sometime in their long lifetime that they've been out now. And there's just, we've really kind of hit a plateau in what we do. People still basically just send email and they browse the web. If it weren't for those horrible flash ads on every web page, we'd be happy with computers for web browsing that have been around for exactly like for 10 years, like that lady was saying.
You look at the spec of Google's Chromebook, you know, I mean, there's a decent enough spec on it, but actually the spec is actually well over what it's needed for what it actually does in terms of the web browsing, the emailing, the Google-ish Google Docs interaction, that kind of stuff. It's much, much more than anyone actually needs.
I think in some respects there's been divergence as well, in the that rather than the PC being the home for everything you used to do, I mean, people still listen to the radio on their PC, watch iPlayer on the television, play the occasional game on TV. We're getting a TiVo with our Virgin Media package, which means we can pretty much watch any television we want. We've got at least two games consoles in our house. We've got handheld game. With so much now happens on our phones. The first thing we pick up when we get up in the morning, I don't know about you, but I certainly do. I pick up my phone and check my tweets. Yep. I don't switch on the computer until I get to work. And that's just mad.
Yeah, I mean,
James is right.
Go ahead, Carl.
It's the first thing I do. I was going to say, this is the first thing I do. Wake up in the morning, grab the phone by the bed, make sure that it charged overnight, and then check the mail, check the tweets in the shower, and then
it's you check. Hang on, later, yeah. You check tweets in the shower.
No, check the tweets then the shower.
If you consider that most of what we do on the internet is still text-based communication, mm-hmm. you certainly don't need a high-end PC to do that. And mm-hmm. systems that have been around for ages would do just fine. If you look at what Microsoft did with Vista. One of the reasons everyone hated it and it was so slow and large and required such crazy hardware was that they were trying to sell more PCs with it. The vendors were saying, like HP were saying, hey, Microsoft, you're supposed to have new operating systems out every few years to get people to upgrade new computers, because usually Windows users don't buy an OS update. They buy a new computer when that happens, which is habitually different than how Mac users do it. But they come out with fewer Windows releases. So they had Vista that was designed to basically take that same user interface that we've had since the 80s and the desktops, Windows and everything, and require that it has like a 256 megabyte video RAM graphics card to display crazy transparencies. Then they scaled back in 7 and said, okay, we'll make it less demanding on the hardware, because they saw people wanted netbooks. They want to take their stuff on the road with them. And as long as they're just doing text and photos and things, you don't need anything more than a phone.
Yeah, I mean, the report that's out there at the moment is actually a full respective slant on the total PC market. So it's Q2 2010 versus Q2 2011, and it's saying that 11% of the US total personal computer market, netbooks, desktops, proper laptops, is all included within that. At top of the pile is HP at 30%-ish, Dell is down at 22-25%, and then Apple comes in third at 10%.
I think I can't remember who it was in the chat room there was saying that people are buying laptops now because you can watch TV. You know, if you haven't got a tablet or something like that, I think a phone is a little bit too restricted. You can watch TV and you can tweet along, or you can Skype people sitting on a sofa with your computer in front of you. The computer doesn't have to be big anymore.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's like desktops now are for like I'm going to sit and edit video for the next 6.5 hours. And we're doing that now. We're taking our portable devices, our laptops, our iPads, our phones, whatever it be, and we plop in front of the TV, and we'll sit there and just. It's like last night I was watching the Open tournament, and I'm barely watching it. I'm actually trying to look at the tweets go by, instead of actually watching them. Maybe
that's crazy. It's like life through a lens.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it, though. But if I want to, say I want to TiVo something or put it on Sky Plus, I have to make sure I go nowhere near Twitter. You know, something like The Apprentice. You cannot be anywhere near Twitter, otherwise you know exactly what's happened and who's gone out. And I can't watch it till Thursday night before I come on here or whatever. And I hate it. Grand Prix. I can't stay away from the Grand Prix unless I stay away from Twitter. And what Eric's saying there is perfect. It's absolutely all about the text-based interface systems, and you don't need a desktop anymore. Chat room's saying, generally speaking, I'm well aware of the fact that the chat room is probably not representative of the total population. The weirdos that we have following us are all saying that desktops are dead. Hardly any of them have got a desktop at home. It's all laptops.
It was interesting to see what Maxess was saying just a couple of seconds ago, that Apple TV is getting Bluetooth in iOS 5 for use with a wireless keyboard. The TiVo we're getting has got Twitter and Facebook on it. I don't know what that's for, because you don't. One person who's watching television with the family is not going to want to use Twitter, because everyone's going to shout at them.
Exactly. Take over the whole TV screen just to show Facebook.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Does anyone think that iOS 5 is going to really kind of release Apple TV? Because, it's had this Bluetooth functionality that's just basically been dormant. The plug at the back is for developers only and for the Apple Store to do... I still can't believe that iPlayer is not on the Apple TV platform at the moment.
Well, the first thing I'd say, Ewan, is that I don't think I've seen a lounge-based device that doesn't have a port on the back of it that you're not allowed to use. That just doesn't do it. There's a USB port. There's an Ethernet port. There's something in there. You've got to, I want to use that. I want to plug something into it, but it's all for engineering use only. And Apple have just done exactly what that is. That's what they've done. They're not
going to like
it.
Hoopty in the chat
room. You're talking about how... Yeah, I remember the first digital cable box I ever had, or that my family had, and there were like four FireWire ports, 2 gigabit Ethernet ports, and it's like they just went nowhere. There was nothing, like 70 USB ports. Like, oh my God, there's so many ports on this thing. What can I do with it? And you can't do anything.
Not a damn thing. Bad luck.
Half the time, there's no... If you look underneath where the motherboard is, there's nothing even leading to it. It's just decoration.
Yeah. They bolt the ports in there, but they don't lead to anything.
Yeah. Just in case.
See, here we go. Hoopty's in the chat room going, oh, fine. So me and the wife are the only ones who still use our desktop computers. Carlos jumped in and said, no, I'm at my desktop 90% of the time. And then Dave has said, heck no, I'm sitting looking at 4 desktops and 1 laptop.
And he's got a desktop computer on his lap. As a table.
I told you the chat room wasn't the general population. Good grief.
Not really, no.
I mean, what about this Sony S2 tablet? I mean, is that...
It's ridiculous. Is that the phone one? Yeah.
That's that covered then.
Sorry.
I mean, what did you think to it?
Is anyone going to buy that? Seriously. It looks like a Nintendo DS.
Oh, you're talking about the clamshell one, right?
Clamshell with the twin screen. That's the S2, and the S1 is more of a traditional tablet, but it's got it's like a folded over piece of paper, creating like a little flap. You know, it tilts towards you automatically.
Wedge shaped,
Super fingerprint glossy. Lovely. And running Android Honeycomb, I think, at the moment, but there's plans for chocolate sandwich. Or whatever it is.
Ice cream sandwich,
Ice cream
creamy
sandwich,
butter.
Thank you.
Instant butter.
So, does anyone look at the clamshell with any kind of desire? Is the clamshell...
wouldn't be surprised if it never comes out.
Seriously?
Yeah.
They're saying release date is autumn.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe it'll be there for a week. I just don't see anyone buying this, because no one knows what they're doing with tablets. In order to be better than the iPad, they have to cost less, be more powerful, have more software, be slimmer, lighter. They're none of these things.
Well, they've got to be
none of these so-called iPad killers.
Yeah, there's got to be something that makes you go, wow. There's got to be a wow factor.
Well, the iPad is the thing to beat. The analogy I was thinking of the other day was it's like you're looking at the early game consoles, and you're like, well, should I get a Nintendo? Should I get an NES? Or and then you go with like some
Sega Mega Drive,
TurboGrafx or something, or Master System. You know, the one that has no software that nobody uses. It makes no sense. And some of those old game consoles were even more expensive than the popular ones. Never caught on. It's the same analogy when you're talking about platforms that have to have software specifically written and approved for them. It's the software that makes the device. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's the hardware and the price and everything around it. And Apple has all of those things still.
But Android's nearly there, isn't it? I've got some really cool stuff on my Android phone.
And Android's getting there. Well, I say that because... Yeah, yeah, when it works, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't say it's as stable point as Apple's iOS is right now. But, you know, Honeycomb actually, you know, I've had some play with it on some tablets over here. It's really nice, actually. I have to say it's really, really nice. But
do you have anyone
it's
who's
still not the same?
Do you have anyone who's not a real tech hobbyist for whom you would recommend an Android tablet over an iPad?
No, I can't do it yet. No. I mean, you're hitting it right.
Price.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I tell people when they say, should I get an Android tablet or an iPad? I say, you know, if you have to ask, it's an iPad. Because the only reason to get an Android tablet at this point is because you know you want an Android tablet because you want to try the little handful of native applications and you want to geek out and you want to learn it as a hobbyist or a developer or whatever specific reason you have for getting it. If you just want a tablet, and you just want to, I don't know, play some games, download a few apps, see what this whole tablet craze is about. iPad 2 all the way.
But if you say, do you want a Chromebook or an iPad, which one would you say? It depends, I guess, what you want to do with it.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend Chromebook to anybody who's not a business customer.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're going to use the Chromebook and you're going to use it as a tea tray on a snowy day, maybe.
We're not even, at least in the United States, we're not even close to having a system that people can operate, regular people, that requires a constant internet connection. Speed or availability, the wireless internet just is not there, or cost. It makes no sense. And the hardware is expensive enough that you may as well just buy a Windows 7 netbook and put the Chrome browser on it and get the same darn effect.
I mean, there's
a lot never happened here.
Booted up into some kind of Chrome thing, wasn't, or some kind of Linux thing, really instantaneously.
Well, the chat rooms erupted here. They're upset at a Gaviscon ad that's now come up, but they're also saying, the Motorola Zoom tablet. If that comes down to £300, I'd buy it. They're saying, what about the BlackBerry Playbook? I couldn't agree more. What about it? Because it doesn't do half the things that it does. You know, a basic BlackBerry handset would do. And there's a certain element of, is it a level playing field? Because the way I see Android tablets, it's kind of like women in business. They've got to do twice as much to get half as far. And they're behind the eight ball before they even start. No?
I don't know. I think it's more about preference. Do I go against the grain and I go the Apple way and try this something new because it's cheaper? Or do I spend the extra $25, pretty much, and just get an iPad? I think that's the dilemma right now. What has more on it? What is the cheapest? And in the end, what's going to give me the best overall experience? That's the iPad.
I can give you some for instances here, which is an interesting thing. The fact is, Android phones, Apple iPhones are only four in the range, and they're selling them by the millions. But Android phones, because there are so many different sorts, have the market really in that respect. I mean, there are lots of them out there. However, that doesn't match into the operating system or the user experience on the tablet. And in fact, a friend of mine was trying to use an Android phone she's just recently got, and she's struggling with it because it's not as simple as that. And I think that translates to the tablets quite well as well. So for the person who's looking for a phone and a phone, the overall ecosystem for phones and tablets, I don't think Android is quite mature enough. And then people end up with Android phones because they're just probably on the iPad because it does anything they need to do and no more without too much of a struggle.
Did everyone else hear that okay?
Did I cut out?
I'm gonna find.
I've got tons and tons of distortion on my audio. Sorry about that.
Damn Google Plus.
I hate this free crap.
Yeah, it wasn't me to pay for.
Does anyone want to respond to James's comment? Because I haven't got a clue what he said.
Android phones and tablets are an ecosystem that isn't mature yet. People are buying Android phones because they're easy and they're cheap and there's loads of them out there. But they're not going for the tablets because they're too complicated.
Yeah, people are buying people who aren't buying Android for ideological reasons are buying it on price.
Yep. But they're not doing that with the tablets.
Well, exactly, because the price is not even comparable. Apple just has been so far beaten in price, as well as software library and ecosystem and what their friends are telling them to buy and what their friends are using can help them with, and on and on and on.
And that, I think that also goes back to also the customer-friendly side of it, too. You buy an iPad, particularly at an Apple store, you know, they'll show you what to do with it. You're not going to get that same experience at Best Buy. And people... I still firmly believe, particularly in the times that we're living in now, people like that. They feel that they're getting something extra for nothing. In actual fact, they are paying for it, but it's just something that Apple just keeps getting right, more or less. I mean, even you, Ewan, could say that. You had an iPad overseas, crapped out on you. They replaced it.
Yeah, I mean, that support structure is something that really was very valuable to me. You know, it was nice because it was one of the first iPads to hit the UK. It was here 2 days after launch. And I was loath to give it up. But when it came down to it, I actually wanted an iPad that worked. And Apple just stepped up to the plate and said, yeah, no problem. Give it over here. Here's another one. Away you go. And it runs just fine, touch wood. Yeah. Is there anything else we should talk about this week? Because it has been pretty light with the news, hasn't it, really? There's not been an awful lot going on. No?
I'm sure the chat room will have an idea.
There's questions about News International and that kind of stuff, but you know, News International's apparently, according to Eric, it's not getting reported very much in the States on Fox News. There's a surprise. Oh dear. Where the hell's Lion? Well, we're going to talk about Lion tomorrow and where the bloody hell it was on the Mac show. So I don't want to do too much on Apple based stuff. And if you take away the Apple based stuff,
yeah, there ain't much.
That's bugger all left, unfortunately.
How about this Google Plus?
Well, go on, in live review of... I mean, we talked about the ethics of Google Plus and whether it was going to replace Twitter and all that kind of stuff last week, which I know I didn't push that out as a show, but, I mean, in terms of what you've had a week to play with it now. I've been on it for 7 days as of tomorrow.
You know, we never even thought of it. I could have just recorded my line separately in ADR. Like, you give me, like, a little transcript of, like, where it was bad audio, like, me and my speaker in the kitchen, and then I just, like, say it over again.
You could revoice it, yeah.
Exactly, overdub my own track.
Well, I'll send it over, dude. You go ahead.
Just, no, thanks.
Well, you That's can a change, man who hasn't got enough time on his hands.
You can change all your comments. Every time James says yes, you can say, did you get those pornographic pictures I sent to you of your wife? You can make up anything you like. No, Google Plus, what do we think week on?
I've hardly what? Used it.
Yeah. That's not going to help, is it? Great review, James. Thank you very much.
Well, no, the only reason we haven't hardly used it is because it hasn't really got anything there for me. What I've noticed is that there are some people who post a vast amount of stuff, and there are some people who just don't, you know, who you just sort of see in passing because they've checked in or something like that. And actually, because people are posting long form stuff, it just gets so full of the same of some people who I'm not even sure who they are because I'll add anybody to my circle. Would you see? I must be a little bit. I should use the streams button to look more closely at who's writing what. But even then, right, the last person in my family wrote on the 12th of July. Last of my friends wrote 11:26 this morning. So people aren't really using it that I know.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Go ahead, Eric.
I think that a lot of people will not make the jump to Google Plus. I think a lot of people will not make the jump ever outside of Facebook because I think... Once you remove your outliers, your hobbyists, your geeks, your all of us, regular folks who are using Facebook, the millions and millions and millions of people who are using it, they're going to look at Google Plus, and after they hear about it, they're going to look at whatever else comes out in the future, and they're going to say, well, wait a second. I don't want to have to move everything over there. You mean everything I posted is going to be left behind? All my photos are still in Facebook, all my blog posts, my wall posts, my connections, my social graph, my messages, my on and on and on and on and on. And I think that more than just keeping people locked into Facebook, I think it may scare people off from ever doing that again, from ever putting their eggs into a single person's basket, like a Google Plus. Or what triggered this in my mind the other day was they have that new Photo Vine that's actually a Google property. It's like a photo stream, like a photo version of Twitter, as if Twitter doesn't already have photos. But it's a new service, but you, again, have to upload and host your photos with Photo Vine. And I'm thinking, who's going to really do that? They're showing regular folks just sending photos that way. Who's going to want to upload to yet another place? People are going to be sick of that. Right now, most people just do Facebook and that's it. And as soon as they realize that, number one, it's what they put in Facebook is staying in Facebook. It's not coming out again. That's going to anger them. They're going to say, what do you mean all my photos I've been put in there for years are only 640 by 480 and all the comments and everything are locked in there and can never be taken with me. They're going to get resentful about that. And they're going to say, I'm never going to do that again. So I think Google's strategy or any other future really successful Facebook killer is going to have a system that is so open that they're really just an aggregator and the people themselves are hosting it on some kind of universal portable social network hosting kind of platform. And the others are kind of aggregators or syndicators or so forth. Because I think that's what Google is best at, crawling the web, finding things that they themselves don't host. So I think they're going to change that ultimately.
A blog post of somebody wrote how to leave Facebook and what you should do to do it. And I was trying to find the place where it said how to get your photos out of Facebook, and I couldn't. I was just looking while you were talking. I was paying attention, Eric, honestly. And so I Googled export photos Facebook, and I clicked on it, and it said, we can't display the content while you're viewing Facebook over a secure connection. I'm not touching that then.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
See, I think the thing that's quite interesting about Google Plus is the fact that I think it's not ever going to impact on Twitter, because I haven't used it like Twitter. I've posted facetious comments and what do we do now in there this week, and that's it. In terms of actually direct communications between people, I haven't sent email and I haven't openly posted that much for people to respond and correspond to. What it's been usually really, really good for, I think, is with the Hangout. I think it's a great hub for people to gather around. And if you're online, you check in. And if someone's hanging out, you go and hang out with them. I love the Hangout feature. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that really has brought it home to me is the fact that I made a connection with Andy McCaskey, who I haven't spoken to in 3 or 4 months. And he got a Hangout running, just sitting in the background. And I just hung out and just joined next to him, and that was it, and sat there and waited for him to finish what he was doing before I said boo. The only downside was the fact that he got it behind another window and couldn't see what I was doing, and there was no way of pinging him to say, oi Andy, I'm here. I had to send him a tweet to get him to realise that I was sat behind the window that he was looking at. So tweet is definitely still the text-based communications platform. Google Plus is not taking that, and I don't think he's ever going to take it, is it?
No, I kind of somewhat agree with that. There's a few things this week first and foremost, I like Google Plus. I like how it is. I like it a hell of a lot better than Facebook. But I don't see it as a Facebook platform, and I don't see it as a Twitter platform. I did a tiny little blog post about this week. Google Plus is to us tech geeks community what Twitter was 3.5 years ago. It's our little place on the internet right now. We're the ones that got in first. We're the ones that get to try it out. Google probably is the reason why they want us there, so we can try it out. So I see it as that, because that's all I see on there is those kind of people. And I like how intuitive it is. I like that you can, the Hangout is great. But it's missing one important thing right now that keeps me from using it, and it's because I'm an iPhone user. There's no app, and I hate the mobile app for it. Hate it.
Yeah. I mean, using it, I've used Google Plus today on the iPad, and the way it appears on the iPad as the mobile format, it sucks. It looks like it's basically just HTML code streaming across the page. It's pointless. It looks awful. Dreadful, dreadful.
The Android app isn't fully cooked either, to be fair. The actual app, it hasn't got everything that's on the website. You can't do, there are some things you can't do. It's sort of multiple circles and things like that. It's not quite there. I'm not quite happy with it.
We've talked about this before. It's the reason why Twitter succeeded, because of the app, because of TweetDeck, because of an application on the iPhone. That's why it became the norm, and I think that's why everybody flocked there. Facebook or Twitter, I still go to Twitter. I just don't do the Facebook thing. I don't know if it's not paranoia. It's just that I find myself, when I'm going to Facebook, I'll do it on my phone. I never check it on the computer, and it's to check on fan pages or these kind of things, or what's been updated. All the people I interact with are on Twitter.
I think if you get Facebook, you get the streams text element of Google Plus. There's a direct comparison there, and they look very similar as well as. The Hangout feature is, they've beaten Facebook to the punch there with that. I think they've done it really, really well. It doesn't stream the video as well as it should, and the audio is not as good as it should be. It needs to improve that. But then the next thought, having had a go at it this week, is that you start taking the Hangout and you start applying it to gaming or something like that. If there's going to be an interactive gaming process where you can take your Mac or your PC or your Xbox 360, Google Plus goes out to Xbox 360 and PlayStation, and then all of a sudden Hangout becomes a hub for gamers to attract to and join together and start having stuff. You know, the potential's huge if they tap into it, but it's whether they'll tap into it or whether they just want to sell me a pair of shoes from the shop down the corner.
I want to tie it back to what we said at the beginning. I just thought of something.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was going to say, what would be nice, but it's probably never going to happen unless they do it. It would be nice to say, okay, if I can go from Google Plus and it goes to Twitter, or if I say something from Twitter, it can go to Google Plus. To me, that's what may make it, it needs to be a bit more open. And maybe it will, because it's in beta right now.
Oh, Google Plus for Wii, says Robert in the chat room. Absolutely. Wii U.
Wii!
Go on, Eric.
So, you know, you started the show by saying, why aren't people buying more computers more often? Have we just plateaued in what we need them to do? They're perfectly capable. They have been for years. Why don't people buy them? Well, I'm going to throw out there that it's because it's not that we've reached the ceiling of what we can do with computers, it's that we've reached the ceiling of our bandwidth. I mean, look at the thing that we're trying to do right now. Have a five-way video chat here, and it's all choppy and it's bad and it's broken up. Has nothing to do with our computers. Every one of our computers could more than handle sending a video stream and watching the other thumbnails. It's entirely based on bandwidth. All the other functions, like you're saying, video chat while playing video games, all this stuff. Bandwidth, the computers, the PCs on our desks and our pockets and on our laps have done this, have been more than capable enough for years now. The problem is bandwidth.
Well, I think what's a great tell on that is the other week when Kyle was really busy, one computer was sitting rendering some audio, so he used his iPhone to come on the show with a set of earphones, and the video out of his iPhone was better than the video that we get out of his normal computer.
Thanks for that.
On 3G.
Thank you. I got it rubbed in twice there. It's my bandwidth and my iPhone's better.
The audio was good as well.
I've just wasted $600 a month. Thank you.
Well, the other thing was Dr. Crappy Mike, when he was having trouble the other week, he came on using his little crappy headset plugged into his MacBook Pro. Crystal clear audio. It's the best audio we've had since we started the Mac Show with him. I agree, Eric. I think you're absolutely on the money there. It's all about the bandwidth, and the providers are not providing bandwidth. And then we're back into the conversation that we had about AT&T carrying too much long-term debt and not investing in the infrastructure. But that's a different show that we've already posted. Have we got a cool thingy? Would you like to start us off, Eric? No.
Nah.
He hasn't got one again.
No, thanks.
You're
you go
crap,
on without
dude.
Me.
You crap at this. One thing, you got to think of one thing, that's it. And you do. Right. Mr. Swagger, go ahead, mate. You're laughing loudly. The video's on you.
Yeah, no, that's not very good, because I'm looking for one as we speak.
Oh, good God, James.
I've been playing with a little toy this week. It's GarageBand on the iPad still has, there really isn't the equivalent for Android, but there are some nice little bits of kit. This one's called Caustic, which is like, it's kind of a little bit Reason-y. It's got various different functions on the screen. It's got like a drum machine, so you can You can do different patterns.
Very good.
And you can put a bass line on. It's just good fun. You can create songs based on sequences of patterns and stuff like that, and it's quite addictive. It's like going back to the 1990 late 1990s if you were into your sort of the Happy House kind of stuff. And it's great for a noodle with a pair of headphones on. Quite good fun, absolutely. Now, put your white gloves and the glow sticks away. I think we're all done with that one.
Glow sticks down. Good fun. Well done.
The free version doesn't save, but it's good fun for a noodle. And I think the full version's a couple of quid.
Very good. Very, very good. Alex, Jesus, wrong day.
Alex, where are you?
Alex, where are you, Alex?
He's not back there.
Right. Sorry. So, Kyle, have you got a cool thingy for us?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's called, I couldn't remember what it was called, actually. It's called FTP on the go. And it's an iPhone app. Yeah, amazing. It's an app. Basically what it does, it allows you to access, you can, you know, and from, if it's a Windows server or it's your network attached storage or these kind of things, it allows you to go in, you can access your files, you can stream audio. And I have not got it to stream FLAC, and that's kind of irritating me. But of course, the iPhone does not do FLAC natively. It does have a FLAC app, and I was hoping it would work for that, but it doesn't. You can do like MP3s, you can do the, of course, AAC files, these kind of things. And it's kind of like your own, it's like your own little server, you know, or own little device to access your server at home. I find it that instead of having all my songs and stuff on the phone, you can just access it, and you can access your, through FTP, you can access it through your network at home. You can stream your tracks through there too.
Okay, that's very good. Cool. Do you say it's free?
How much is it?
It's free, as far as I know.
Woohoo!
And you and I free. Thought I can't. Oh,
go on. You've got Sorry. A cool thing, Eric.
I do. I just realized, as the only one here representing the U.S. of A., I have to say the cool thingy today is Spotify, now officially in the United States, launched at 8 a.m. this morning.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, if you want the free version.
Only $699 a year. Sorry.
Well, there's a good question about that. So we should have talked about how it's going to figure on with iTunes Match and that kind of stuff, because the pricing's way, way different. You're talking $125-ish. Yeah. And with Google Music. Yes. Yeah. Well done, USA. Congratulations. Welcome to Spotify. We've all left it now. That's why there's a bandwidth for it.
Thank you, American record labels. It only took you 4.5 years.
We uploaded the songs. You get to play them.
Good That's pick, kind of though, Eric.
Good pick, yes. Well done, mate. Even though it was last minute and dragged out from the bottom of the ocean.
That's a little...
still got the salt water right on there, yeah.
My pick, I've got to pick something that's a little bit, maybe a little bit controversial, but I've driven back from York today, and I drove up to York last night, and it's a long journey. It's about 3 hours from where I am to York. Whoever's typing, bugger off.
Sorry.
And the thing I've been listening to, I listen to podcasts a lot, and I listen to audiobooks going up and down on the motorways. I always did Larry King. And I had the episodes all downloaded, and I had the most remaining 5 on me iPhone. But I probably listened to about 1 in 10 of them. There was a subject there that I fancied listening to, and that was it. And now Piers Morgan's taken over, I've started listening to loads more. And today I listened to the interview with Charlize Theron, the interview with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and the one with Bill Mayer. And they were really good interviews. Good on you, Piers. Well done. So my pick is Piers Morgan's podcast.
Piers Morgan has done something good.
He has. I know most people think he's a complete tosser, and he may well be. I'm not saying he's not, but in terms of interviewing technique, he was good. He got good interviews out of all those people, so I'm a good listener now. There you go. Larry, sorry, but he's better than you were, because he's got me to listen to far more of the shows than you did, and it's not just because he's English and you're American, I promise you. Right, our last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. We've had a call with them again this week. We've got a competition coming next month, with them, and there could be a fairly significant prize to give away with it. They are the people that keep us afloat. They take all of our bandwidth. They provide us with all the domain names and pick up the tab for those. And we love them to bits, and they love us to bits. And they're doing very well. Thank you very much. Thanks to you lot, because you've been using our click-through. If you go to our homepage, bageltechnews.com, and you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll find it in the bottom left-hand corner. There we go. You click on that, even if you just want to sign into your account, and they'll know that you're a returning customer from Bageltech. It shows an immense amount of customer loyalty, and they're very happy with that. They also, once you've clicked that link, will be able to tell where you've gone within the site, not who you are and your inside leg measurement, just the fact of where you went after you came. So if you just click it and get to the homepage and then bugger off again, they're going to know that you're just clicking it, and we'll get told off. So when you get there, make sure you go somewhere else, will you? And if you buy anything, they'll know that you've bought it through the click-through. And then when you get to your checkout, there's a coupon code. You stick in the coupon code BAGELTECH, and you will get not 10% off your bill, 15% off your bill, because you're a Bageltech listener. And they have had an awful lot of sales in the last couple of months from people using the code. They've also said that there's an awful lot of people coming through our link and buying stuff and forgetting to put the code in. So oi numpties, when you get, thank you. So oi numpties, when you get there, don't forget to put the code in. You get 15% off. You're wasting your money there. If you transfer your services over and there's anything that seems like it's gone awry with charges, don't cancel your subscription and come back having a go at them. Give me a bell on Twitter or send me an email, and I'll send you the reason that it's happened and what you do to solve it. I can't tell you any more than that, but don't be fazed by any charges that you may get. Have a word with me and I'll sort it out for you. I'll tell you how to do it. Make sure you use the code, though. And please, please, please continue to support UK2.net, because if you like this network, we would go away if they were not here. We've consumed so much data in the last few months. We couldn't afford to exist without them. If we were trying to pick it up through Libsyn, Libsyn couldn't cope with the amount of data we've got. And if we were having to pay for the bandwidth that we're using up, I couldn't afford it either. So there you go. Please use them. Love them to bits. Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Eric, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I don't know. EricLanigan.com, Twitter.com/EricLanigan, Google+, just type in Eric Lanigan, EricLanigan.
If at any point you don't want to do this, feel free. It's all right, mate. I just I hate to inconvenience you, mate. I do apologize.
Well, I've already signed up for UK Plus, like UK 2, 100,000 times. I don't even live in the UK, and I can't even buy their services. And so stop can? Making me do that.
No, you can buy their stuff. Tell me you can buy their stuff, no?
I have no idea.
Yes, you can buy their stuff. Don't do that.
You can. You can.
You'll switch off all the American listeners. Anyone across the world, you can buy UK 2 services. No problem at all. And
even go pesos into pounds.
The chat room wants to know, if I disturbed you, were you looking up for donkey porn? I've got no idea why donkey porn's come into it, but there we go. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at kyleswagger.com. That's kind of a portal hub for me. I also add me on Google+ too. I welcome it as well. I need to make one little correction here. This is how these fine folks at Apple get you to buy something and think you've got it for free because your iTunes account is tight. And you say, yeah, I love that app. Great. That FTP on the go charged me $7. Well worth the $7. Well worth it, because it does work really, really well. But I'll see that on the credit card bill at the end of the month.
But you didn't actually know it was $7 when you bought it, did you? Because you don't buy apps. You only go for free stuff. You're a tight ass.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'm a tight. Yep. But I have to say, I really like it. I don't know if it's worth... I don't know if it's... I think it's worth $7. I've used it a lot this week, so...
You could tell you didn't know how much it was before you bought it. Did you only buy it because of the fact I was pushing you for a cool thing and you thought, well, that'll be the first thing I'll pick?
No. I bought this actually... Well, I didn't know I bought it. I bought it earlier in the week because I was like, I need something that I can access the server at home, but I need to do it on the iPhone. And, oh, yeah, this looks great. Yeah, free. Maybe. I don't know. $7. Okay. Enjoy.
And finally, Mr. James Hart, did you buy
you
the?
You can find me on.
Did you buy the audio thingy that I sent you through? You haven't ordered it yet.
No, that was the five-way Zoom thing. That was fantastic. Now, to be honest with you,
that was James porn there.
I would absolutely love one of those, but you kind of wonder where to put it because you'd have to. You couldn't hold it because
it's family show easy.
steady. Yeah. It's yes, it's a it's not what you think.
Is that the Zoom orgy?
Yes, the Zoom orgy. I don't know what to do with myself.
H2D. Very, very good.
It's quite remarkable.
Who's cutting up a body?
Falling off this. Oh no, Eric's going left of the screen. Body.
Eric's gone to one side of the screen.
Am I artistically framed?
Just in time for the
credits. Yeah, he's waiting for
the credits.
Quickly, where can we get a hold of you?
I'm twitter.com/ scissorsgy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. I'd like to play Hangouts on Google Plus again, and I want specifically to see if it will work at work, and I can point my camera out the window.
Oh, bloody hell, Lanigan. Artistically framed. I've taken a snapshot. There we go.
Lovely. It was...
Don't fall off the stool, man.
Dude, you need a can of oil.
It's all good.
Yeah, that's what everyone says when the chair farts.
That's Eric's pick. WD-40.
Someone has a donkey. There's your donkey porn, dude. That's it.
Stop it now.
That's the title of the show. James is sitting there going, my son listens to this. Well, you shouldn't
not
let
anymore,
him.
He doesn't.
You really shouldn't let him. I can't do a four-way view of everyone and say, aren't we happy families that we are, because we're not. There we go. We'll be back again tomorrow. Oh. We've got the Bagel Tech News Daily Show. It'll be out first thing in the morning. They've got to take the wife's car for service. And then we'll be back at 1 o'clock with the Mac Show with Will Green, Don McAllister, Dr. Happy Mac, and Kyle, and myself. And then we'll be back with the Photo Show at 3 with Chris Forsman, Alex Fox, Kyle, and myself again. And then it'll be the weekend and we'll all be drinking beer, so it can't be all bad. And then don't forget, of course, it's the Elmug event on Monday. You're going to be down at the Wood Marylebone Pub in Northwest One, and you're going to be listening to me. Will Green will be there. Steve Neighbour will be there from the Elmug Group. All the guys from the chat room are going to be there as well. And we're going to talk about Lion and how good it is that it came out today. None of us have had a go on it, so it could be very informed discussion. There'll be a few developers there and there'll be people who do know what they're talking about, so don't worry. It won't be all just me and Will cracking jokes and beating each other up. See you next week. Have a good week. Thanks for listening.